The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And good morning. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you're just joining us. Thank you very much for doing so. Already had a busy hour. We'll keep cracking on now into hour two. Let us get some of the listeners' comments first. Hi, Greg. I totally agree with Michael McBride. And not only are windscreens getting chipped, but now cars are pulling out over the white line on the road to avoid the dip and holes that are now appearing on the stretch of road between Illestrin and Gort na Foirne. I see this now all the time, and this is getting extremely dangerous for drivers coming the other direction. I drive this road every single day to work and back. Thanks, Greg. Enjoy the show, and thanks for your kind words. I really appreciate it. All our beautiful ash trees are disappearing in Ballymacool. They were cutting them down Saturday and Sunday. The noise of two chainsaws woke me up yesterday morning. Anyone else notice this? Now, we've covered the ash story before, and I think there is... It could be a disease issue that's forcing the destruction of these trees. Hi, Greg. Around 56 hours to get the train from Derry to Dublin with a train. 5 to 6 hours, I hope. It couldn't be 56 hours. I presume it's 5 to 6 hours to get a train from Derry to Dublin with a train change in Belfast, taking around an hour to an hour and a half wait on a train from Belfast to Dublin. Will you see? That for me just would not be, it just would not be convenient enough. Hi, could you ask Greg if you could ask what are people paying for rent in North Inishowen? I'm looking at the minute and it seems very expensive in some areas. I mean, rent's up. We have the Daft survey on rent. Do you have those figures to hand? It's around about €900 on average at the moment. So rents are high. But anyway, if anyone could give us an idea of rents in North Inishowen, you see the reality is that there are more people seeking property than property is available. And if you have a property, what do you do then? You look at the market and you say, right, I can get another 100, 150, 200 a month. I presume that's what's happening. Hi, I attended the ED in Letterkenny Hospital recently. The department was extremely busy and my waiting time was very long. There needs to be drastic action in setting up a minor injury clinic in the Northwest. Mullingar had a similar problem and got a new minor injuries clinic. I feel the politicians and public need to fight harder for this clinic in the Northwest. Well, that is part of... a campaign from a group that's been set up campaigning for better services at the hospital. And one of their key demands, I believe, or suggestions, is a minor injury clinic. But where would it go, you see? In Letterkenny? Elsewhere? I don't know. Hi, Greg. A gang of young lads were throwing potatoes at cars going up Listnenan Hill yesterday evening after dark. Lads, why? Stop it. Pack it in. It achieves nothing. Pointless. Could be your auntie that's in one of those cars and you can put them off the road. But anyway, they were at it. Let's hope they desist. The guard said this has been happening for the last few nights, although they were throwing eggs the first nights. I had my car damaged last night and the shock of the thump on the side of the car made me swerve across the road. Luckily, there was no oncoming cars. If this continues, there probably will be an accident. Never mind the damage to people's cars. I appeal to parents to check their children and check where they're at this time. These lads probably think it's great fun, but it's basically vandalism and it could lead to a fatal collision. Let's not sugarcoat it either. Were you the victim of potato or egg throwing at Listnenan Hill yesterday evening, on previous evenings after dark? Let us know, because it's something that if more of us talk about it and raise awareness of it, it's something that's going to have to be acted on more, okay? Be an increase in patrols or whatever it might be. And that's why it's important to text in the program, because it makes the voice stronger. Okay, so if it is an ongoing problem that's affecting a significant number of people, let us highlight it and eliminate it, because the more attention that's on it, the less likely it is to happen for a number of reasons. Okay, so if you've been affected by that, get in touch with the show. That's the type of stuff we work on for you all the time, and for the most part with great success. Right, okay, just a reminder for you, in case you're wondering what you can do to someone for someone, Valentine's Day, it is tomorrow. Don't forget, Tuesday the 14th of February, Valentine's Day for 2023. Now, of course, a bunch of flowers might suffice, but maybe you've some grovelling to do, or maybe you've got a few euro and you really want to treat that person in your life. Well, why don't you take them on the Highland Fling to Glasgow? It's in Glasgow from the 1st to the 4th of May, so it's just around the corner. Sometimes, you know, things can be months and months and months far away, and it seems like, you know, it'll never come, and what's the point? Well, this is just around the corner, just as we head into the summer. It is $575 per person sharing, which on the face of it, depending on your income, seems a lot, but you get a lot as well. You get out of the country for a few days. You get your luxury transport via coach from Letterkenny, your return journey, your ferries organised. We've got four-star accommodation for you at the Crown Plaza in Glasgow. You get your breakfast included. You get your dinner included. That's all okay, isn't it? But we also have three nights of fantastic entertainment. Some of the highlights, and it's not all, David James and the Ryan Turner Band, Declan Ernie and his guests, and also Robert Mazzello, who always, as do the other two guys, put on a great show. And then there's loads of stuff going on around the hotel and in the bars as well. And you're close to Glasgow if you want to go in and explore. And if you want your friends in Glasgow to come and enjoy night's entertainment, they can get tickets, standalone tickets for the night as well. So you can secure your place on this trip for €100 of a deposit. Any more information you need, call Katie now on 074-91-25000. But you can pay your deposit now and then pay in over the course of the next couple of months. And then go away for this lovely adventure to Glasgow. And I think it would be an adventure as well. So if you want to, get in touch with us and we'll give you more deets. Right, okay. Now, just a quick reminder for you, if you want to get in touch with us, how you do so, WhatsApps and text to 086 60 25000. If you're outside the Republic, it's 00353. You drop the 086 60 25000. I still can't believe that we have to have these international dialing codes in this day and age. Unbelievable, really. If you want to give us a call, 074-91-25000, 074-91-25000. And also, you can email comments@highlandradio.com. And just a reminder for you, and sorry if it's annoying for those of you in Radioland who this is irrelevant to, but if you want to watch the show, hop on to YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, or on Facebook. Just want to play a couple of requests here whilst I have the opportunity. Sheila Gilroy, Raceend Remelton. Happy birthday to you, Sheila, from grandchildren Aidan and Ella. Sending lots of love to you this morning. And also, I want to wish Canis Wilson, our own Canis Wilson, a very happy birthday from Maggie, Willie, Helen and family in Listillion. Thanks, Greg. Much appreciated. It's our pleasure. Happy birthday, Canis. And we've another birthday tomorrow, Lee Gooch's birthday tomorrow. They're fairly coming in thick and fast. So well done. Happy birthday to Canis. We'll wish Lee a happy birthday tomorrow, I am sure. Any requests, by the way, are more than welcome into the show. You use the usual numbers. We're very happy to say hello to people or to wish people well on a special day for them. Just a quick mention of the Community Hero Award, which is running at the moment on Highland Radio in association with iMotors. And the question is simple. Do you know someone who goes beyond the call of duty and helps in their community, carers, volunteers, or goes the extra mile for neighbours and friends? You know the people that this applies to. Well, the Community Hero, who we'll name later this month, will receive a brand new 231 Nissan Qashqai for 12 months. So you can nominate someone who you believe is a hero in your community by emailing their name, address and a short reason why, and your contact details too, to comments@highlandradio.com. We've had a really good response to this, by the way, which goes to show it's a recognition of the great people we have out there helping others. So send in your nomination, a reason as to why, and your contact details to comments@highlandradio.com. Post your nomination in too, by the way, Highland Radio, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, County Donegal. They're all viewed equally. The closing date for entries is the 22nd of February, and we'll announce the winner on this show on the 24th of February. You can visit highlandradio.com for more information, and fair play to iMotors for their involvement in that. Sue Shaw is a CEO of Irish Senior Citizens Parliament and joins us now. Good morning to you, Sue.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic, and it's great to have you on the programme. What is the Irish Citizens, the Irish Senior Citizens Parliament, Sue, before we get down to the nitty-gritty?
Okay, so we're an organisation dedicated to ensuring the rights of older people are heard, and importantly, that the lived experience of older people are heard in policy making at the government level. So I suppose a keen example is the budget around the state pension. We would work with groups to engage with their TDs to ensure that the state pension is adequate and secure. We're also currently working around the issue of ageism and how that impacts on decisions that are made around older people in relation to health, in relation to mental health, physical health, in employment, across a range of areas. So it's an organisation of older people. So we have large national organisations and some smaller organisations and individuals who are concerned around the fact that ageing seems to bring with it an invisibility. And that's in simple terms, I suppose, that's the organisation.
Yep, and I've referenced this in the programme and I think it's important to reference it again. I think, and even this comes from, you know, leaders of government, some of the language often would give the impression that older people are a burden and it's older people's fault, say, for instance, that hospitals are overcrowded. Well, we know that's simply not the case. We've known where our population is getting older. That's growing. That's great. And we need to be putting in policies to make sure that we can treat people equally. The same with, rural isolation and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? People are almost feel guilty for living in rural Ireland. I would love to see a real change in language, particularly by those that are elected, to at least, this won't fix the problems, but at least to stop people feeling like they're a problem, that they're the cause of it, that how dare they live so long and maybe have some sort of an illness.
And I think we work along with six other national organisations who are focused on different aspects of ageing. And one of the calls we would make along with that organisation is for a review of how the media and how the whole language around older people. I mean, you hear it, you're right. It's like, it's a tsunami.
Everyone, if you're over 65 and God forbid something happens to you, you're instantly just labelled a pensioner. A pensioner, absolutely. Right? Okay. Over 66, 67. A lot of people I know, older people I know, don't like that phrase. Now, some will say, they'll text in and say, I'm a pensioner, blah, blah, blah. But others will say, I'm an older person. They don't want to be labelled by way of a payment. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
When you think of it.
But it just puts you into one box. I'm a pensioner and that's it. Yeah. I have no other value. I'm just a pensioner.
Silver Surfer is another thing that... I understand what they're trying to get at, and I know on the wider scale of things it's no big deal, right? But it's just to call someone who happens to use the internet at the age of 70 a silver surfer. I don't, that's the same, you know. And just one other point. Quite rightly, I think it's the Irish Council for Civil Liberties have got on and a lobby in the government today. It's in the front of all the papers to choose their language more carefully as it relates to immigration. Proper order, that's fine. Maybe they should also send a letter saying that, do you know what, maybe we need to change our messaging and our language so that older people on whose shoulders we stand do not feel like a burden to society or some sort of a problem. Anyway, sorry, Sue, rambling here.
No, but I think that's really interesting because the bottom line is the government themselves established what was called then the National Ageing, Positive Ageing Strategy. And it identified the need for a campaign around the narrative we use on older people. All of the things you reference, frail, elderly, a burden, bed blockers. You could just go on forever. And that, it was a fantastic strategy. It had hiccups, never saw the light of day. It was never implemented. Aspects of it have been used. But one of the key elements of it was a campaign to challenge how we think about older people. So we would rightly call on that. And one of the other things, I suppose, that we're calling for is, I think, at the moment, you have no champion for older people. There is no, the Minister for Older People is a junior minister, not sitting at the cabinet table, so isn't as influential as we would like. And we're saying we now have the need for a commissioner for ageing and older people. Because the bottom line is, it's not just about the older people now, it is ageing. We have a huge concern when we think about people in their 50s at the moment who are renting. And in reality, by the time they come to collect their state pension, they won't be able to afford the private rent that they're in. So we have a huge issue coming down the line for people who don't perceive themselves as old. So a commissioner for ageing would ensure that some of those policies... We've known for so long that this is an issue across Europe. Now, we're the youngest oldish group in Europe, but nonetheless, and we're perceived as a very positive approach because older people themselves take a positive approach to aging. It's just, as you say, it's the narrative.
And here's another example, just because I could go on forever on this one because it really annoys me. the discussion on pension age, it pitches, this is the way it is, older people now, even though it's not relevant, older people now who may be retired against younger people in their early 20s, early 30s, who think they can, they will live forever. They're not worried about it. In other words, we either have to put out the pension age or we're going to have to hit people with more taxes in their wages. And instantly, right, the younger people think that this is about them having to pay for older people when in fact it's paying for themselves. But this is never articulated like that. It just pitches different generations against each other. And as I say, we can all do our bit, I think, to try and call that out. Because calling it out is the important thing, I think.
I think it is. And the reality is divide and conquer has always been a tactic for a long, long time in trade unions, in negotiation style. If you can divide it up and then have people pitched against each other, they're more focused on the other than they are about the issue. So for us, we are very clear about that. This is about the right for people to retire at a particular age. But it isn't about the people who are retiring now. It is about yourself, Greg, and other people. I am retiring past the retirement age. But at the end of the day, we are clearly saying this is about looking after all people as they age. It is not just about current.
Like another
people.
Example. Sorry about this, right?
But it.
Bus drivers, 65, right? Have to retire. They can no longer drive for Bus Éireann, as far as I'm aware. They can continue because it's all like they're tested and all that kind of stuff. They're perfectly capable. They can continue to drive buses privately. But they're thrown on the scrap heap from a Bus Éireann perspective. And often we talk about, you know, people say, well, I want to retire a bit earlier. I don't want to work till I'm 70. But some people want to work till they're 70 or want to work till they're 75. And the conversation is never nuanced to accept that. There's lots of 65-year-olds. They're healthier than 45-year-olds. And yet they're being seen as, God, are you still here? Do you remember that thing about older teachers working too long and taking jobs from young students? You know that? This is the kind of stuff that's always there conversations they're always been having.
But there really is a narrative around that. And it reminds me back when the gender war started, for the want of a better word, or women are taking the jobs of men. That is not what it is about. And that is not an answer to providing employment across the generations. Reality is, research has shown, a blended workforce where you have all ages in it is a much more productive workforce. One of the saddest things is, though, you have now people at 45, and research has shown it, going for interviews, and because they're 45, they're too old. Now, seriously, where are we at? And I do think if I have been maybe a bricklayer or I've worked in a very physical demanding job, I may want to retire at 60, 65. Yep. However, there are lots of people who do not want to, including that same builder. But I think the choice is what's important. And our difficulty is the contractual arrangement. It's the contract you sign that you never notice said retire at 65. That's the legal piece. Our government may say you can work till you're 66. But if you signed a contract that says you're out it. And do you remember last year or not 2 years ago during the pandemic, there was a huge hullabaloo about 70s, you can't volunteer for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Over 70. And we had a consultant who is an expert advisor on a national program for one of the serious cancer, I think it was. And he had been refused by his GP. He wanted to help out. Now, this guy is still sitting at national level advising. So there's almost a notion of what older people are. And I think we just need to challenge that. For us, a commissioner for older people would have, because they'd have legal powers and they'd be resourced to call out on some of this, mm-hmm. and also push the government into across the departments. You've some departments, we work with social protection and health, and some of them, they're doing a good job. But it's kind of like, you know, sometimes when you go to a GP and they say, well, I only deal with toes, I don't deal with ears. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's consultants. You're not a whole entity. And unfortunately, we need across departments to work collectively to ensure we have a fair, safe, and enjoyable aging policy.
And I think advocacy groups like that, if I can describe it as such, are really important. But I think also older people need to find their voice as well. You know, and contact us, 086 60 25,000. Tell your story. Go on strike. Stop bloody babysitting.
Well, to be honest with you, there's a Tilden, Trinity College Dublin have done, it's a longitudinal study. And the amount, we would not survive if we did not have older people, the grandparents doing the child minding. the contribution older people make to society.
As that's what said, I'm saying on that one thing. Go on strike on one thing and let's see what happens. Yeah,
let's not do it. Or volunteering in the community, doing the, you know, the amount of volunteering that happens. But I also think, though, that we need to think about calling people out on ageism itself. As you say, we're all about working with local groups, regional groups, to say to them, build a relationship with your TD. Let him know your vote counts.
Yep.
Let him know that you have an interest in some of the things that make it very unfair.
And we're going to talk about what's coming up as well. I also want to recognise, actually, I think it was only Thursday or Friday, we had Donegal Sports Partnership in, who do great work in supporting organisations. We had the champion curler in with a K, indoor curling. And, you know, there's this really vibrant league of curlers, 120, 150, really competitive in East, primarily East Donegal, they're looking to spread it out. And there's more options for stuff like that there. So there is some good work going on. But yes. I think what we're talking about more is just a right across society, you know, and on the language, as I say, the same type of call out on the government for their language using in relation to immigration, you know, call it out. Your divide and conquer comment is a perfect one. Because the government will look at people standing outside a hotel screaming out, and the government who have laid the groundwork for all of this are sitting in the quiet, cosy doll thinking, you know what I mean? They're not outside our building. Anyway, listen, that's a conflation.
But one of the things that does is it takes the focus away from what the problem is and focuses it on the action that's trying to rightly or wrongly manage it.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's the thing. We need older people to come. So I suppose that's why we're doing the workshops around the country, is to bring older people together to discuss. First of all, like, I think people kind of go, what are they talking about, ageism? The bottom line is, research has shown the choices you get if you go in health are based on age. The options for treatment that you are offered are based. And as you say, I could be 64 today, and the options may be different when I turn one day older. But the level of ageism within the health sector is high, but it's across all sectors. Yeah. But that influence, so how we think about growing up, how we think about older people, that stays in our head. Mm-hmm. When you have a government and a media who consistently think of older people in the frail, dependent model, then that's how your mind goes to thinking. We internalize it. Like, and look, but if you look at it, we have a whole absolutely industry built up around staying young. Do you know what I mean? It's a whole industry, because youth is the elixir. We all want it. That's what they're telling us. So automatically, if youth is the best, then getting old is not.
Yeah, but the problem is if you've two options. A, you don't make it, or B, you get older and all your attempts. I mean, the best we can hope for, I think, is that we're young at heart and young in our minds. I need to correct something. I said, Bus Aaron, you have to retire at 65, it's 70. I beg your pardon. Right, okay. So I might be conflating two things that are in my head there. But be that as it may, there are other examples. We've lost some great newsreaders or what have you, or different people in different parts of society simply because they hit a certain age. So let's talk then about the workshops on ageism that is, there's one, I believe, taking place in Donegal Sue.
It is. It's taking place tomorrow in the hotel in Letterkenny, which it'll come to
Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny.
Mount Errigal. My apologies.
No problem. We got there together.
But it's at 11 o'clock tomorrow. But the idea is...
I have 10:30, Sue. I'm sorry.
Our registration is 10:30. There's
10:30 for 11.
10:30 for 11. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. But we are we're hoping to bring older people together. First of all, to have that conversation.
Sorry, Sue, I'm not being a silly bugger here. I hope you don't know. Just it's Wednesday, which is the day after tomorrow.
Wednesday yes.
February 15th, with registration from 10:30 in the Mount Errigal. Yeah. Just to make sure I don't interrupt you and we don't get the message out. So you go ahead, Sue, then tell us what's going to happen on Wednesday. No problem. Go ahead, Sue.
So the workshop, as I say, is to bring older people together to have those conversations, because often older people themselves begin to dismiss the impact ageism has on them. And yet their experience tells them something different. But because everybody says, oh, what do you mean? So talking about that, talking about what the impact of ageism is, and then, well, what can we do about it? What are the steps we can begin to take? One is, as you highlight, that media campaign around changing the language we use around older people. The other is definitely the workshops are aimed at highlighting the damage ageism does, but also building a momentum to call for a commissioner for aging and older people. Mm-hmm. And we're very clear that that's what these workshops are about. But we're also interested in hearing people's experience of it, because all too often it gets dismissed very easily. Do you know what I mean? And the, so trying to build in people, no, you're not being silly when that bothers you. But how best can you challenge it without being ridiculed or without feeling, oh God, no, I don't want to raise the issue. Like, I was in a supermarket the other day and I was up at the, coming up to the checkpoint, and the girl said to me, would you mind letting that young woman behind you go? She's in a hurry. She's heading back to work. Now, somebody else,
nothing to be at.
I said, Terrell, I'm on a lunch hour too, so I'm heading back.
Wow.
No disrespect to you.
Passive ageism, that is. I don't think there's any malintent.
That was well-intentioned. She could see the other girl jigging. Now, the other girl was mortified. Do you know what I mean? But for me and for a lot of people, they won't call that. Mm. Or when a GP says to you, we have one woman who went to her GP. He talked about, she said she had a pain here in her neck, just into her shoulder. He said, well, with your age and all of that. 2 months later, she'd had two stents fitted because she'd had two mild heart attacks.
Oh, my word, yeah.
They are classical symptoms in women. So it's about, had she said herself, had she had the cough, she just felt dismissed, so she said nothing. Mm. So he didn't ask any other symptoms and she never said it.
Yeah, just put it down to age.
It was an age. So we're trying to build people's
and ability. I think too, what...
jokey stuff.
It kind of has to change in the media, in government, what have you. But I would say a lot of people listening here, perhaps some of the most offence they've received might be from people in their family, young people, younger people in their family. It could be about, are you sure you should be driving? Or, you know, some sort of, some sort of casual comment that they head off afterwards, but it's left in the house with the person that received it. And it'd be very bothersome. And do you challenge it, cause a family row? So really you just have to take it on the chin and crack on in life till the next little comment is dropped or whatever it might be. I'm just giving some examples here, but you know what I mean? You should be drinking much at your age. Do you know that sort of stuff?
Absolutely. There is a range of stuff, and people who are struggling with maybe the digital, and it is not every older person struggles with IT. Some do, but also the loss of independence then for older people when that happens. And it's, how do you build that skill set? And how do you say to somebody, instead of taking the phone from me and going, here, quickly, I'd rather you helped me do it.
And again,
there's a range of things we can do.
And we associate that with older people, but there are many, many people of all different ages for many different reasons that struggle with technology and won't be able to adapt to it for many different reasons. But they wouldn't be judged equally as an older person. It would be put down to their age. Okay, so if you want to get further information on this seminar on Wednesday, office@seniors.ie, it's a simple email address there. We have a telephone number as well. I wouldn't expect you to have a pen and paper to hand, so give us a call. You know our number. We'll pass on this. You can turn up on Wednesday morning at the Mount Errigal Hotel, loads of parking there, on Wednesday morning, as I mentioned, at 10:30 a.m. And it's a free workshop, and it aims to challenge experiences of ageism and how ageism attitudes can impact on rights, while bringing together a network of people to share their stories and to build connections. Shared experiences. Say, yes, this is what I've experienced. In a way, that some way it validates your feelings. And I think that's important too.
That is important. When you spoke about the isolated person, you know, how do I challenge it? I want around the family. When you have those conversations with other people, you realize, no, hold on, it's not just me. You know, that kind of, oh, don't be so sensitive, I didn't mean it like that. Then you realize, no, it's not. So we really would encourage you to come along. We're looking forward to meeting you. And we're hoping that you'll look forward to meeting other new people or people who've had that experience.
Sorry for keeping you so long. It's just a topic. It's a topic that's quite important to me. So I appreciate you. I just want to break down barriers and change attitudes, just so we're a little bit conscious of what we say and what impact it can have on another person. As I say, it's like there used to be a thing where they used to drop stuff into shops, you know, like novelty stuff. And I remember there was this, dropped in a massive remote control. It had massive buttons. It wasn't for older people, right? No, it wasn't for older people, Sue. It was a novelty thing, right? But I thought it'd be funny to get it from my dad. So I got this remote control. But before I had an opportunity to explain to him that it was a joke, right, he believed that I actually thought that he needed this thing. So oh, wow. he handed it back to me forcefully, let me put it like that, and didn't speak to me for a week. But eventually we kissed and made up, went out for a drink. When we have these conversations, it always reminds me of that. Sadly, he's no longer with us, but this was going back a bit. But this massive remote country, I thought it was hilarious, but the joke didn't drop with him. And eventually we reconciled. But anyway...
But again, it's those things that, you know, allow you open up. You went in with the joke, but because we internalize, oh, I am getting old.
He was ripping at this remote control. Right, okay.
That's what happens. So, yeah, it's lovely to talk to you. Yeah.
All right, you too, Sue. Good luck with Wednesday. Take care of yourself. All right, that's Sue Shaw there, CEO of Irish Senior Citizens Parliament. That seminar on Wednesday morning at the Mount Argyll Hotel, February 15th, 10:30 a.m. registration. It kicks off at 11, and we've got contact details here if you want more details. Right, Michael Ledden is Chair of Psychotherapists and joins us now. Good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time out this morning, Michael.
Thanks, Greg. Pleasure to be here in Highland Radio.
Yep, good to have you with us. Now, you are looking for volunteers to assist in mental health first aid, particularly at music festivals, and applications are now open. So talk to me about the role of these persons and where they pop up and what they do.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, Ireland has a huge music festival and music concert culture. And generally, we recognize that as a rite of passage and really good crack for young people to go and enjoy. But these spaces, you know, can also be very overwhelming, very stressful, and they're synonymous with high levels of alcohol and drug use. You know, so statistics from the HSE show that, you know, from 2021, 94% of respondents out of 1,200 respondents or so said that they'd used drugs at festivals. So, well, what they found abroad is that, you know, and what we see here, but it's so far has been left one kind of generally unsupported. When people gather, when there's substances involved, when they're partying for 2 or 3 days in a row, mental health for these people can really, really struggle. So Psycare Ireland is the group that I'm from. And I suppose our mission is to provide volunteer staffed mental health support for people at music festivals. So it's there 24 hours across the event. That's what the volunteers would be asked to do. So it's mental health first aid. We also provide crisis intervention. Some drugs can be missold, or if taken in combinations, can create very overwhelmed states for people, particularly things like psychedelics. So we provide softly furnished bell tents and trained volunteers who could sit with someone for hours if necessary for them to kind of calm down and get support. We also do harm reduction information. So we tell people about the dangers, the risks, how generally the only safe way to use a drug is not to use it. But if someone is going to use, and we say, look, that's probably a fact, people are going to use drugs, that we say, well, look, do not mix this and this. This is unsafe. You need to break this into quarters, go slow. So the volunteers that we're looking for, yeah, would be asked to work with us at events and to do 6-hour shifts with then 24 hours off so that they can kind of enjoy the festival, get a rest, not be overwhelmed themselves, and then come back and do more shifts. So we're looking for a panel of open-hearted, happy individuals who'd like to help.
If my memory serves me correctly, the HSE did something not dissimilar to this last year at a couple of events. Bit of controversy around it because I think some people saw it maybe as condoning behaviour, but I think we have to accept that it is going to happen. Is this similar to that? Is this endorsed by the HSE? Or is this just a new initiative that rather than it being a trial, you will see it rolled out at a lot of the major festivals?
Yeah, exactly. The HSE did do drug testing at Electric Picnic, which was a great success. They managed to alert the public to certain missold drugs or very strong pills that were in circulation. And they have done outreach at certain events where they might go around and do a bit more information work. Whereas our initiative, our non-profit company, we're applying for charity status as well. We kind of come from the model that comes out of Portugal and the UK and the United States, where we have a kind of a base at events where people can come to us and get support as well. We'll do outreach. So we're a little bit different, but we're completely allied in terms
of the same space. Right. Yeah. So just so for a clearer understanding, what might happen in the absence of this? Do you know what I mean? So, in other words, what problem are we fixing in providing this type of a service at a festival? In other words, what might happen to these individuals if you weren't there?
Sure. Well, I think any kind of medic or security person who works in events will probably know about having to sit with people and being overwhelmed, you know, and their training wouldn't necessarily cover the kind of psychological piece. We're basically, we're giving people time and space to process their difficult emotions. We're preventing problems before they happen by advising people, you know, about unsafe combinations, even by just people getting the alert. Oh my God, there's a psych care here at the
We events. Reality check too for some people that might get caught up in the moment.
I think so. I do think so. Kind of, we can all get a little hedonistic at music events and festivals, but to actually kind of to see, okay, wow, this can happen to people. You know, we've seen people who would probably have been diverted, you know, ejected from festivals, left on the side of the road nearly, arrests have been diverted at some events we did last year, you know, so we're really trying to bring down the harms, psychological, trauma-based for people.
To some extent, too, do you think it refocuses, if required, refocuses the minds of festival organisers in that... You know, there is a group on site that recognizes and a reality that otherwise maybe certain things could have been brushed under the carpet, or people could have been eased off site, for example, and God knows what might have happened to them subsequently. Like, and I'm not saying the industry needs this check, but do you think that is maybe a positive sort of byproduct of what you're doing here?
We really hope so, that this kind of brushing it under the rug, this doesn't happen at our events, you know, whereas we know particularly dance music events are particularly synonymous with certain types of drugs. Yeah, that it kind of brings it a little more out in the open. And like all the recent, there's a drug checking report that came out that is saying that we should recommend festivals need to have harm reduction measures in place to get a license. So that's, you know, the Tánaiste coming out and saying in favour of decriminalisation, the Justice Joint Committee recommending the same. So I think we are kind of waking up to, okay, drugs are a massive part of society, and drugs and alcohol. And yeah, we hope that we can just be there to support events.
Yeah, because to some extent, these organisers create their own problems in the brand people bringing alcohol onto site and then charge massive amounts of money for booze on site. And you know, people are going to take drugs anyway alongside booze, but it also does mean there's a certain part of people going to smuggle stuff in, and you know, that's you know, so I think they do need to recognise they do have a role in all of this. What has like is this a pilot for 2023, Michael? Have you been doing this broadly up until now? Pardon my ignorance in that regard. And what how has it been received? If this is not the first time round.
Sure. Well, I suppose our committee would have a background of doing this work abroad. I've volunteered with Psycare UK myself, Chill Welfare in the UK is another group, people have worked with The Loop in the UK, Cosmicare. So we've kind of come together as a group, as an Irish group, to say this is a need here. And last year we went to 5 different events. The first few were kind of just finding our feet, doing harm reduction information. But then we were at Fuinneve Festival. We helped 23 people through crisis. And then we were at Day of the Dead Festival at Halloween. So yeah, we're pulling a broad range of volunteers together. We have about 50 volunteers this year, and we want to train 100 for kind of this year, right, to really get to as many festivals as we can.
Yeah, all right. And listen, the people are asked to give up 6 hours, but then there is also the space for them and a recognition that they can enjoy the event themselves as well. If they want more information, obviously there'll be vetting and all that type of stuff, I'd imagine, that would be required. But any other information, any other T's and C's, how can people contact you or your organisation, Michael?
Absolutely. Well, the best place to look us up is probably the website. So psychcareireland.org. The applications are live. People will just register their interest. They'll have to return an application form, a reference. We do background checks and everything. And then volunteers get 2 days of comprehensive training to sit with people in distress, you know, one in-person day, one online. And I suppose for volunteers as well, it's joining a community. You know, we believe in like a human rights based approach to treating the person who uses drugs, ongoing CPD and events. Giving something back to the party scene, Because I think all of us in the group have been festival lovers and attendees ourselves, and we can kind of empathize, you know, that at some stage nearly everyone might have needed a psych care in their life, either for themselves or a friend. So if you think you fit those criteria, we would absolutely love to hear from people.
Okay, well, we'll see. And I presume, I'm not sure if it's fair to name or not, but if you would be looking across the summer here in Donegal in the northwest and seeing where you might benefit from having your teams on site, is that correct?
That's correct. And I believe, yeah, we saw there C-Sessions has just announced a brilliant lineup. So, it's the kind of event that we'd love to partner with, just to support people of all ages there. And, you know, it's not just about drugs. You know, sometimes alcohol can be the worst.
Well, that's it, yeah.
You know, the worst substance.
It is a drug as well. All right, listen, thanks for that, Michael. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Yeah. Michael Ledden there, Chair of Psychotherapist. More information, info at psychcare.ireland.org. That's info at psycare.ireland.org. All right, okay. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. Hello. It's 70 years old is the limit for bus air and school drivers. It's ridiculous, as you can then go and drive the schools in Northern Ireland no problem when you're over 70. That's the point I was trying to make. And sorry, I went in at 65, but I have a lot of info I try and retain in my head. I was 5 years out there, but I'm glad you recognise that it's unfair. Also, if the school orders a bus for a private hire, the over 70 driver can do that no problem, just not the school run carrying the same pupils. Tell me how that makes sense and doesn't send a message to older people. Greg, I received appointments for Letterkenny Hospital clinics back to back for the same day to be told, after almost 4 hours, that it was a mistake and I didn't need to be at either of them. Is it any wonder there's such backlogs? Has this happened to anyone else? 4 months of worrying for nothing to do with that particular clinic. And most importantly, what about the patient who should have had my mistake appointment? How long were they waiting anxiously? Maybe in urgent need of an appointment. I got by mistake. One patient, not impressed. Okay. That's a long one. Hi, Greg. We heard the bottoms were being exposed around Cashel Park, Lisnennan last week. Mooning? Were people mooning? Why would you do that? But anyway, they were at it, according to this listener. Greg, do the math. House prices drop and rent skyrocket. People buying for cash and renting out. Also, if buying to rent Mica homes, hope there are safeguards to ensure they don't get access to the Mica relief scheme at some future date.